Sweet. 2 minutes burned. Awesome.
Sweet. Wow, that was fast 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the fastest 2 minutes of your life. You're in for a surprise.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. No, you know what? Fuck this. You do the welcoming.
Oh, okay. Is this real bearded news?
What do you think? What are you on?
Sorry, I touched your foot. That bothered me more than it did you. I sound like a squirrel. Okay.
That's what I hear all the time.
When you talk. I don't know what to say. Okay. Okay. Welcome back, everybody, here at Real Bearded News with Miriam and Sharon. We're here to talk about Scream 6. We just watched it this past weekend. We really enjoyed it, and we're so excited to talk about it. Spoiler free. So, how are you, Sharon?
I'm good.
Nice.
I'm good. That was a very interesting introduction that you gave.
Do we want to do it again?
No, it's fine. We're going to keep this whole entire conversation in there, too, so it's going to be great.
Yeah. But yeah. It's my first time.
It is your first time.
First time introducing the podcast.
I took that virginity away from you.
You popped my cherry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
And we're done. So, Scream 6. What did you think of Scream 6?
I'm sorry. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I recently marathoned all the Screams for this specific reason, and nice. I had so much fun.
Great.
Yeah.
So, what did you overall think of Scream 6? Like, part of the franchise, right? Mm-hmm. What did you think of Scream 6?
I thought it was really good. It was definitely very different from other ones, but also very similar. I think that it still keeps within that same, like, vibe that all the Screams have of being, like, self-aware while also creating this really awesome story and keeping you guessing till the end. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, we have the characters that were introduced in Scream 5 of Tara and Sam, and kind of seeing this different kind of hero than we've seen in 1 through 3 with Sydney. So I think it's just pretty cool to see this new reboot of Scream and also the parallels that you see in Scream 2 to Scream 6.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I thought Scream 6 was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I had a couple of issues where, because it's a resequel, mm-hmm. it kind of, a resequel?
Sequel?
Yeah, requel.
Yeah.
it kind of, legacy characters are all available.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like that Sydney didn't come back.
I agree.
Obviously, she didn't come back because they weren't willing to pay her enough. So, why would she come back, right?
Yeah.
But it also opened a door for the new characters to take up the mantle and be mm-hmm. the proxy characters of the original of 1 through 4. But however, it was a good film. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining. I go to Scream movies not to be enlightened by stuff. However, it's always educational to know about horror movies. But yeah, I really did enjoy it. But aside from that enjoyment from Scream, how did you feel the new characters did as far as taking up those mantles? And how would you categorize them? Like, who would you give who what?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of saw, especially the twins, who are Randy's niece and nephew, Mindy and Chad. I can definitely see Mindy being the new Randy, especially because she likes to explain things like Randy did. And Chad is probably like Dewey. As we saw in Scream 5, he came back after being stabbed way too many times in Scream 5.
Yeah.
And also that he's just there to like protect everybody and just being a nice guy, I guess. And Sam, I can see her kind of being the new Sydney. I'm not really sure where to place Tara. What do you think?
I think, here's the thing. Initially, I thought of Tara as a new Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like that, you have Sam as Sydney, Tara as Gail, Chad as Dewey, and Mindy as Randy. Which, if we put Mindy as Randy, that means that she's gonna die at some point.
Oh no, you're right.
Unless she's smarter than Randy.
That's true.
I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to feel about that. However, as we were talking off air, I came to a theory
mm-hmm.
that Sam and Tara are Sydney. They're two halves to the one.
Yeah.
They need two Sydneys, right? Because Tara plays out as Sydney Wood in 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then Sam plays what Sydney could have been, either if she chose to take up the mantle of Ghostface, or if she would have just been like too broken of a psyche, mm-hmm. after all of her trauma, seeing all of her boyfriends stabbed.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Scream by this time, then that's your problem. I am not sorry about it. Oh, her boyfriends die. So that could have been that. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. So that's how I would categorize them. But I would put Mindy as Randy, and I would put Chad as Dewey based on what we've seen on 5.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I think that's really, really cool to see, especially because I think in 3 and 4, Sydney really focuses on like moving on, trying to get past Ghostface, trying not to live in fear. Mm-hmm. And so seeing how Sydney could have been if instead of just trying to get away, escape, trying to forget about Ghostface, we could have seen how she like really could have experienced that pain and trauma, and just kind of seeing the two different ways that it affects people, you know. Right.
Now, the way that 6 is structured, do you think it's fair to compare it to the way 6 and 5 is structured? To be fair, do you think it's fair to compare it to 1, 2, 3, and 4?
I think it totally is. Maybe not 4, because I feel like 4 is one that was just kind of in the middle that didn't really relate to other stuff, even though it was still good. Because in 1, we see these people who like saw the killers from 1 and like wanted to get, in a way, like revenge for things that had happened. And just we're also kind of just obsessed with the stab films, mm-hmm. Which we can see in Scream 1 with Stu and Billy killing Sydney's mom and then also killing everybody else. And they also were just really interested in the horror movies and were kind of obsessive when it came to like that kind of media, which we saw in Scream 5. And then in Scream 6, we get to see some other things come into play that kind of mirror Scream 2.
Okay. So I think 5 and 6 are unique within its their own right, while still keeping the formula that the Scream franchise, the initial Scream franchise, kept. So I do enjoy that very much because it, like I said, Scream is one of those movies that you go watch to get entertained, which is weird to say because you're watching people die. But it's one of those things that you're like, I'm here to turn off my brain and just watch someone get murdered and come up with some crazy ass idea as to why they have to kill this one specific person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think within that scope, Scream 6 falls beautifully into the franchise, mm-hmm. into the original franchise.
Yeah.
So does Scream 5. It's interesting. If you guys didn't watch Scream 5, I'm so not sorry. It's interesting how they're playing, though, with the concept of Billy having a daughter,
mm-hmm.
outside of, you know, because he cheated on Sydney at one point. It's just interesting how they're playing with that and how her psyche is part of Billy Loomis and how that's going to affect. So they're toying with some stuff, which would be interesting to see moving forward if they continue, right? So we have 4 Screams of the original. Are we going to get 4 new Screams? Which would be interesting to see how that plays out with her psyche.
Because
mm-hmm. in 5, we see how it's going for her. In 6, we see how she's trying to move on from it, but not really. So it's interesting to see that. Do you think they're going to play around with that if they go to 4 movies?
I really hope they do. Because in the end of Scream 5 into Scream 6, you can really see how it's affecting Sam. And I would really love to see how that affects her in the next few films, because we saw Sydney kind of work harder and harder to try and get out of the realm of Ghostface. But I wonder if Sam is going to try harder to become more like Ghostface as opposed to not like Ghostface, you know? Because I feel like they're kind of going in 2 separate directions, but like along the same path, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
So, yeah. I also find it really interesting because we were talking about kind of the format of Scream, because
mm-hmm.
it's usually like we see Ghostface kill somebody at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and then it kind of leaves you guessing the rest of the movie until the big reveal at the end.
Right, right.
But Scream 6 starts off a little bit different than ones you've seen.
Right.
And kind of throws you a little bit, at least for me when I was in the theater, I was like, oh, this is a little bit different than Screams I've seen.
Yeah.
And then it changes up, or more like it goes back to it goes how back you to expect what you know. It to
yeah.
be. You know? So it's like they toyed around with the viewers thinking that, oh, this is going to be like they're going on a different direction. Like, is this good? Or do we want like that same Scream formula that we love?
Right.
And so to see like how it might have been different, and then it goes back to what we want, you know?
Yeah. I was telling you that I miss the openings, the stab openings,
mm-hmm.
because every single movie has started off with a fake out. And then Six toys with the fake out in a very different way.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's still a fake out. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So are we going to be watching their journey of XYZ?
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, oh, no, we're going back to the original. It was still a fake out, even though it wasn't a stab opening.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that.
That is pretty clever.
But I do miss my stab openings.
Yeah.
They're always like they just got more ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Because I think at one point we had a stab opening within a stab opening.
Yeah, within a stab opening.
Yeah. And I was like, OK, cool. And which I thought was stupid. Like, it was stupid at the time. But I'm like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
So. We spoke a lot about new characters,
mm-hmm.
and who do we think their proxies are, yeah. right? Or who they proxy to, I should say. How do they fit within the new Scream universe? Like, do you think they're a good fit, like the people they have chosen versus the people that we had originally, like these legacy characters? Do you think they fit out?
I think they do fit really well. I think it's really interesting how they are kind of playing with maybe age and not so much gender. I mean, there's a bit because the new Randy is female and the new Dewey is male, but like I think it's cool to kind of see what the different age groups are as we come to like talk about like the new Sydney is seen in the older sister and the younger sister, which we mm-hmm. haven't seen before, and then we have Dewey and Randy who are twins, so they're the same age group. And I think that kind of changes the vibe of that a little bit, of them like taking on different roles, but also kind of experiencing life in a different way.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it definitely shows also how like the new characters are more relatable to the, you know, new roaring 20s, right?
Uh-huh.
Versus the old legacy characters were very 90s based.
Totally.
So it's like the evolution of what horror movies are, the evolution of what moving forward is. They're not holding on to this old concept where Dewey is going to be the ever-loving cop that's going to survive every single time and then come back. He's going to be 90, still coming back. Like, Dewey died.
Yeah.
He's never coming back. He died. Which I think was nice, you know. And although I hate the idea of legacy characters dying because they were what built the franchise,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to see that they are passing these torches. And these characters are doing very, very well. Like you mentioned off air that these characters are more relatable to you.
Yeah.
Versus I grew up in the 90s. Those characters were very relatable to me.
Totally.
So they're doing a really good job at moving forward. So if they ever want to move to Scream 388 in the year 2050, it shows that they could do a good job moving these torches forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like that. And another thing that we've discussed is kind of the like emphasis of social media in this Scream in particular. And as someone that is roughly the same age as the characters in the movie today, like the main characters, Tara and her friends, I think that it makes it so much more relatable to me without it being hokey. Because
mm-hmm.
it still feels really real. Like, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, does like affect our everyday life. And you saw that with Sam as they kind of start to make theories and stuff with people online about like motives and everything like that with Sam and how it's like really affecting her and her life, which is totally seen today. Like,
yeah.
Even though there's like not really a lot of evidence, there's not anything really behind it, but they're able to like make these wild accusations that people believe, and that in turn affects Sam in her real life. And I think that's also totally the case today.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes it feel even more like something that could happen in your own life, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's definitely a commentary to what happens in real life,
mm-hmm.
where social media just has taken over the world, and you don't need proof. You just need a trending topic on something or someone, or blame it on someone, and people just go forth, which goes back to the opening of the movie, where in our lives, especially within your age group, obviously if you're single and you're a little older, you tend to fall into these tropes as well. But downloading like anything like Tinder or Bumble or Plenty of Fish or whatever the hell is out there, Plenty of Fish is an actual thing.
Farmers Only.
Christian Mingle. Or LDSSingles.com. Like any of these like dating sites, right? The person that we see at the very opening is on a Tinder date, waiting for their Tinder date to arrive. It is important to mention that she is a horror professor focusing on 1980s to 1990s slasher films. So she knows the dangers of being out alone, yet she failed to realize that she was in the horror movie herself. Yeah. She fell for every single trap that this dude set up.
Yeah.
And so to mix it back to reality, you and I were talking about how we could be like, oh, that's so dumb. Why would they run this way? Or why would they do that? I wouldn't fall for that. But yet when we go out on these Tinder dates, doesn't matter how prepared you are to avoid a bad situation, you could fall for that trap to be like, oh, my car broke down. Do you mind coming through and just like helping me XYZ? Boom, you're dead, right?
Yeah.
So it talks to a lot of contemporary issues. So mm-hmm. What recommendation would you give to people that are like, I would never fall for that? Like, what would you say to them?
You never know unless you're in the moment, mm-hmm. you know? Like I personally, like I consume a lot of true crime media, and like, I don't know, you're just like, oh, well, I know what I'd do in that situation. I'll do that in that situation. But it's like, are you really going to be thinking in that same mindset in that situation? Cause I think maybe as some advice, make a plan for what you do in those situations. Cause, as you saw in the beginning of Scream, I'm not sure if she really would have known what to do if she was experiencing these situations, because like, yeah, she teaches it, but would you ever really expect yourself to be in a horror movie? You know, like don't walk down that dark alley, but it's like, oh, well, it's a Tinder date. I trust him. I've been talking to him. He seems cool.
Right.
But like, you never really know somebody until you know them.
Right.
Which is a ways down the road.
Yeah. Which is weird because you would think that like, obviously there was a lot of factors in there, right? Like she was drinking prior, so her thought process was a little inhibited, I guess. Mm-hmm. But also she was horny.
Yeah,
she's trying to meet a guy from Tinder. Okay. Like you have to put yourself, and like I like that you said to make a plan, but I would say make a plan that will fail, because Fair. Your plans are gonna fail. It make a plan and make a backup plan to that plan, because that first plan that you made is going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But my great advice is stay strapped.
Yeah.
Listen. Stay strapped, because it doesn't matter if you failed on both of your plans or all of the contingencies that you made up. Guess what? It's not going to fail. That strap. It ain't going to fail. When someone comes running at you, hopefully you trained enough to be able to pull out your gun. But you pull it out, what are they going to do? They're running at you with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
So you better be quick with that draw and that shooting. Keep one in the chamber. That's my advice. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What do you say to staying strapped?
I don't personally carry, but I know.
I don't think that's a good idea to tell everybody.
Oh, well, that's fair. That's a fair statement now that I'm saying it out loud. But I think it is. I personally carry like pepper spray and other self-defense things with me. And also, I think it's a really good idea for anyone to learn self-defense. I know that that probably won't be the case if someone's running at you with a knife, but I think knowing what to do in those situations where if you are getting into like someone coming at you and trying to like take you down to the ground or something, it's really good to know what to do in that situation and practice it, because like you kick into fight or flight mode and you have to be be able to just do it out of instinct. Similar to what you were saying. It's like, you got to know how to draw. You got to know how to shoot or else you're dead. Yeah. You know? So, yeah. So being ready and making it like your fight or flight response. Yeah. You know.
Stay strapped, kings and queens or both. Others. Okay. So we all know Scream always has a big twist. Mm. That is the epitome of Scream. Do you think that that trope is getting old, or do you think that it's still working for it?
I personally think it's still working for it. I'm a sucker for twists, but I think this Scream in particular really helped to keep the twists and then twist the twists and twist the twists, you know?
Sure.
So that you never really know what's coming, but it doesn't feel excessive. It still feels like it fits within the story.
Yeah.
You know? So I think they do a good job of keeping you on your toes while also like pushing it in your face that this is the answer.
Right.
Like, we also discussed like off air that like, especially this Scream and other Screams that have come before, they've literally said who the killer is while also giving so many red herrings. So it's like, yeah, they definitely discussed who the killer could have been and potentially their motive or what they wanted to do or why they did what they did. Mm-hmm. While also giving you so many other motives that may or may not be true.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I love the red herrings from Scream because I'm such an analytical person. So when I go into the movie theater and I'm watching a movie, I am judging it. And I could figure out, and my wife hates this so much, I can figure out a movie within the first like 10, 15 minutes of it. And then when we get to it, like while she's still going through like the ups and downs of the movie, I already know it. So I'm like, whatever. And then when we get to the conclusion, she's like, how do you do that? Like, does that not bother you that you know a movie? I'm like, no, because I still enjoy the journey. Like, for me, it's the journey, not the ending. So with Scream, I enjoy it because I could almost figure it out. And then they present another really good piece of information. I'm like, oh, I didn't consider that. So maybe I was wrong. And then I'm doubting myself. Like, a lot of movies don't make me doubt myself. So the fact that Scream is still able to do this after so many years, I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the tropes. I'm okay with the cliches. They are still working. They're cliches for a reason.
I agree.
And so keep doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think also it's kind of similar for me and my fiance. When we watch something together, it's like my fiance didn't watch the Screams with us, but I kind of gave him some summaries. And then I explained to him also what Scream was about. And he guessed it within like the first like 5 minutes of me talking to him. And so for me, it's also about the journey, but it's also like, I really love the reveal at the end. And so it's like, I like make my theories and I let them just kind of simmer for me without like really trying to figure it out so that the twist can still be a twist.
Yeah.
But I do feel pretty proud of myself when I figure out the endings.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite as good as my fiance.
It is such a good feeling. Like when you figure it out before the movie even tells you, it's such a great feeling.
It feels so good.
It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Uh-huh. But I do, I could figure stuff out and it's just good. Like it's just the way the brain works. And sometimes the pieces of information are just there for you to like take it, right?
Yeah.
It's ripe. But that being said, so Scream 6, bunch of twists, which was great. We both love them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good characters, a lot of surprising characters, a lot of good red herrings that were very enjoyable. Do you think, or where do you think, I should say, the Scream franchise is going to go? Do you think there's a Scream 7? Should there be a Scream 7? And where do you see it going?
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple things that I'd really love to see. As we already discussed, Sydney kind of like ran away from Ghostface and continues to do so, as we see in Scream 6. But Sam, who's kind of become a bit of a bit like Sydney, she's almost going towards Ghostface and like experiencing like those urges that Ghostface does, but deciding against them in whatever situations. But I would be really interested to see Sam go towards Ghostface more and still being the hero, but like almost like an anti-hero, you know? I also would really love to see Stu Mocker come back because we're not sure if he's dead.
Right.
Because of various reasons. and the killer always comes back. And Stumacher never did, you know? So he could still be out there. I would really be interested to see either a showdown between Sam and Stu, because Sam is basically like Billy too. Mm-hmm. So it's Loomis versus Mocker instead of Loomis and Mocker together.
Right.
Or in an even bigger twist, if Sam does end up either like cracking into the pressure or just has a change of heart and she becomes in some way the new Ghostface, which could potentially happen, if she teamed up with Stu, so it's another Loomis and Mocker Ghostface, right. You know, which I think could be really cool and just, I don't know, a really interesting finish to maybe another trilogy if they're going in trilogies again. You know?
I think, I don't know, I think Scream 6 ended in a great way. However, no other, like, there's never been a Scream that ends without a conclusion, right? So obviously Scream 6 ends with a conclusion and then they come out with, let me bring out this other Scream, right? I would be down for Stu to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be okay with that. Scream 6, not much of a spoiler, but Scream 6 did mention a lot of Stu. And they did implement, like, or plant a lot of doubt if Stu was dead, which was really nice. I did enjoy that. But it would be cool if it's not necessarily Stu that comes back, but a child of Stu, mm-hmm. the same way that we have a child of Billy. So either those two could team up, right? Like Sam completely breaks down and is continuously having nightmares until she isn't consciously killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So she dons the ghost face mask, is killing people, but she's not realizing it, right? So her psyche completely breaks and she's always sleeping when this happens.
Mm.
And then she realizes, oh, I am the killer. But then there's another killer, which is Stu's kid. Mm-hmm. Which would be cool if it was a dude instead of another female.
That would be nice, yeah.
So that would be great. Or you have Stu's kid come back and want revenge because his dad is not getting enough recognition as the serial killer of the first Scream. And then they have beef and he's trying to kill her, or she's trying to kill her because all the attention goes to her now, which is a Loomis, and everybody knows that she's a Loomis. So now the Loomis name is famous again instead of the Mocker name. So he or she wants that fame for themselves and then is able to kill Sam, but also dies by Tara, which is the Sydney of the movie. And so we don't have Billy and Sydney. We just have Sydney. And that will work out.
Yeah.
So that would be my Scream 7. And then Scream 8 comes out and it's, I don't know, that person's mom comes back and tries to kill Tara for killing her son, which was crazy.
Uh-huh.
And then, boom, we have our four movies. That would be my Scream 7 and 8.
Yeah, I think that your theory for Scream 6 is totally plausible because it mirrors Scream 3 really well,
mm-hmm.
with,
a child?
Yeah, with the child getting the recognition when they think that, like, they deserve it.
Right.
And so I think that a Mocker child coming back could totally, totally work within, like, the kind of the Scream outline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of having, in Scream 8, having the mother of this Mocker child coming to kill the new Sydneys, it could be Stu coming back in 8 for revenge for killing their kid. So that's how you bring Stu back. You don't bring Stu in 7. You bring him back in 8.
Nice.
And that could be nice. And you don't have any type of foreshadowing or anything like that. You just have him come back in 8,
mm-hmm.
killing. And he could be, once again, because in 3 we had a single Ghostface wearer. He could be the single Ghostface wearer.
Oh.
Because you've always had 2, except for 3. So in 8, so that people are not suspecting 7 to have a single, you could have him be that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have the single be there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't care. But that would be the perfect 7-8. And then you finish the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
This everyone from the past is dead. So that means Gail dies, Sydney dies somehow, dies off screen if she doesn't come back.
Yeah.
And then you have all the new people survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Or they have all of them die. I don't care. Either way.
I actually heard, and this is just because of what you said, that the writers were talking about killing Sydney off instead of, like, bringing her back. So, like, mm-hmm. they'd bring her back and kill her off. But Sydney had said, well, the actress for Sydney, she said, like, I was close with Wes. He said that Sydney can never die. And so I wonder if they'd ever actually kill Sydney, if they would like keep up with Wes Craven's wishes, you know?
Interesting. Well, guess what? Wes Craven ain't there.
Too bad.
Yeah, exactly. Too bad, so sad. We've come to the conclusion of discussing Scream 6. What would you rate Scream 6 and why?
Ooh. In comparison to other movies or in comparison to the other Screams?
No, Scream 6, our rating. Do you watch it in the movie theaters? Do you wait for it to come out streaming? Do you wait for it to come out in rentals? Should they go watch it on $5 Tuesday or should they pay full price? Or should you just skip it?
Gotcha.
Out of five.
Okay. I would definitely recommend this one in theaters. I wish I'd seen more Scream movies in theaters because there's a certain atmosphere of watching something in theaters, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to horror movies because the lights are totally dark. So it gives you that atmosphere. You're surrounded by a lot of other people who you don't know. So it does, in some ways, increase the intensity of having strangers around you, because that's how it is with Scream, is like, it could be a stranger, it could be someone you know, you don't know, you know? So there's like that little like thought in the back of your mind, like, what if Ghostface is real? What if he's here, you know?
Right.
In kind of a creepy way. But I think also like watching horror movies in theaters, it just like kicks it up a notch.
Sure.
Because there's the atmosphere, the people. I also just love going to the movie theater, so that's what I would do it. And seeing Ghostface on the big screen is just a lot of fun.
Sure.
I would probably give this like a 4, 4.5, just because it's a great movie. I love the elements of meta filmmaking in this, especially talking about like other horror movies and the rules of the horror movies, how to survive. I just really enjoy the characters. I really appreciated that it felt relatable without it feeling cheesy when it comes to social media, like the lingo. Like, I didn't feel like they were like slay girl or like, you know, like stuff that they say that it's like, people don't actually say that in real life. That's like somebody wrote this who is not Gen Z, you know?
Right, right.
So it felt nice to have it not feel overly Gen Z-ified.
Okay, yep.
Because it still was relatable to all audiences, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's fun to see the unveiling of Ghost Mask on, or Ghostface on, unveiling of Ghostface on the big screen. And yeah, and I just really enjoy Scream, and I'm just on a Scream kick right now. I want there to be more right now.
just do it now. Just release everything now. All right, cool. So 4 out of 5 and watch it in theaters.
Yeah.
Okay. I would rate this a 3 out of 5 because it's a good movie. It's entertaining, but it's a movie that it's entertaining. There's nothing crazy about it. There's nothing revolutionary about it. We've seen it before. Although enjoyable, we have seen it before. And it's not perfect. There's issues with the movie, obviously, like we were talking about certain things that we can't really say on air without spoiling the movie. But there's things that they could have gone in a different direction, but they didn't, right? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yep.
It is a long, bloody movie. It don't need to be that long. It's 2 hours. Give me 1.5 hours. You could do that shit in 90 minutes. For all the twists and turns that we want, 90 minutes is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need 2 hours and 20. there's also an end credit scene, which was hilarious. It was making fun of people that stood the entire time.
I didn't know there was an end credit scene.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Oh my gosh, now I have to go watch it again.
No, you really don't. It's Mindy saying not every movie needs an end credit scene, and then it ends.
Ah, okay.
So it was making fun of people there.
Gotcha.
I stood because I wanted to see it. Like, I Googled it, is there an end credit scene? Mm-hmm. I said yes. I stood.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so 3 out of 5. Should you go watch this in the movies? Yes. You should go watch it in the movies. Like you said, there is a certain element to the Scream movies that it's just really nice to watch in theaters. When I went to go watch it, there was only 2 other people in there. I did go watch it at like 1 o'clock.
That's
on
fair.
A Saturday.
Yeah.
So only a few people there. However, should you go pay full price for this movie or should you go to $5 Tuesday? $5 Tuesday is amazing. Yeah. Go watch it on $5 Tuesday.
I watched it on $5 Tuesday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't pay. I paid full price for it, but I have MoviePass. MoviePass works out.
Yeah, I also do.
Oh, do you now?
I'm a Cinemark Rewards member, so I get a free ticket every month. And so I used one of my free tickets.
See, yeah. I have MoviePass that I pay a subscription, and I don't have to pay money out of my own pocket to go watch a film. So
that's really nice.
I can watch unlimited movies, which is really good. And I only watched Scream 6 on it. But it was good. It was good. Good enough to go watch it in a big screen, but not good enough to pay full price for it. So go watch it $5 Tuesday. Yeah. Now, the big question that I've always gotten when I've been doing RBN was, can I take my kids to go watch it? Should you go watch this with your kids? Probably not.
Yeah.
If your kid is not 13 and older, it's rated R for a reason, right? So 17 yeah. technically. But if your kid ain't 13, where they've been exposed to stuff already, I would say no. Otherwise, your kid is going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We actually had kids behind us in the theater.
Ew.
Yeah, like some parents had brought probably four of their kids there.
Okay.
And like they were like crying. They were like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. And like the gore scenes got them. I'm like, don't take your kids here.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason it's R. There's a reason that like I think that maybe kids are a little too young to see this. Definitely, yeah. definitely Scream 6 because it is a lot more gory than the previous ones.
Yeah.
It's like, I personally wouldn't bring my kid to it. I think that also for the sake of people in the theater, I think it's better to not bring your kids to it. But
yeah. I mean, but you know your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I hope you would know your kids. So if your kids could handle that type of thing, if you've been showing them that type of movie, then go ahead, take them, right?
Yeah.
However, if you don't want to get judged by other people staring at you, don't take your kids to it. Watch it at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it. Like, mm-hmm. have I shown my kid Scream 1? Yes, it's a great piece of film. Watch Scream 1. He's watched a couple of the Freddy Kruegers. Not all of them. Some of them are too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what my kid can handle and what he can't handle.
Yeah.
Things that are too bloody, like dismemberment, he can't handle that.
Yeah.
He's not about it. So I wouldn't take my kid to watch that. But if it's some stupid ass like slasher like Scream that it's just a few stabbings, yes. Scream 5 and 6 up the stabbings mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
Probably not. He hasn't watched those two.
Yeah.
But he's watched Scream 1. So, you know your kids. Probably don't take them to the theater. That's my recommendation, but you do what you want to do, boo-boo.
Yeah. You know your kids.
Exactly.
You clearly know your kids.
So. Yeah, exactly. But that's it. Thanks so much for listening today, hearing us discuss Scream 6. It was a fun time. Thanks for being on again today.
No Marian problem. Fear. So happy to be here.
Doesn't carry a gun. She let everyone know that.
Nobody should know that. I'm so sorry. I do carry pepper spray. Don't attack me. I don't know if that's going to do anything, but please don't attack me.
But between the next time that we see you and we tell you what you should be watching or avoiding, don't forget, keep reading those comic books, keep watching that anime, rock and roll, and above it all, stay nerdy, guys.